gets you through your times of stress? What gets you through the day? What gets you through times where it's not working for you? What gets you through? Well, we could answer that in more than one way. Sometimes just a good book, sometimes laughter, sometimes music. But all in that, we must understand it takes a faith. We've all learned, no matter how old you are, how young you are, that things don't always go as planned on our end. You can work hard, you can strive hard, and things just don't work out. How many's learned that there are certain days when one thing goes wrong, get ready, several other things are going to go wrong? We're all together. How many ever has heard of Murphy's Law? Well, there's more than one Murphy's Law. There's about 32 of them. And my goal is, if he's made it to heaven and I make it to heaven, as soon as I meet him, I'm going to slap him. And then ask for forgiveness. We're human, and we get discouraged. We're human. When life doesn't go well, we get upset. Again, the operative thing I've said thus far is our plans go awry. Our plans get thwarted. Our plans don't always go as expected. And what we've learned along the way, sometimes our plan wasn't a very good plan. And even though there's change in the course of what we're planning on doing, we find out that truly good comes out of all things to those who love the Lord. So I ask you today, do we really believe that our God is perfect? If you've been following our devotions, Tozer brings that out so well. And this is what I'd like to echo from what A.W. Tozer said. Our God is also perfect in His love. We can never forget that. God's never changed. He's the same as He's always been, always will be. Why? Because there's no room for improvement. He's perfect. He's perfect in His justice. He's perfect in His mercy. He's perfect in His love. And you have to take that personal. He's perfect in His love for me. Somebody today needs to hear that again. Because you've made mistakes, you've sinned, you've fallen short, or you've just become discouraged, or all the above and more. And you need to remember how much God loves. Do we believe He's perfect? Do we believe that He's all-powerful? That means He's able to supply what you need, no matter what you're facing. This morning, talking to one small group, another small group, and then a third small group, it was consistent somehow. Maybe it's because it's a rainy, gloomy day. Everybody was talking about the aging process. How many knows getting old isn't for sissies? And with that, we come back to realize, wait a minute, there's a sovereign God who's all-powerful, and He's a God that not only meets the needs of the young, He meets the needs of the elderly. David put it best. I used to be young, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Stand with me as we read together. From Job 42. I want us to believe today for whatever you have need of. How many believes that God is still a miracle-working God? How many believes He's a healing God? Job, we're picking up at what we call today chapter 42. In other words, any of you that know anything about the story of Job, Job went through a gauntlet of issues, things that probably we'll never face, not to mention the big picture of all the things that he lost. And here he is at this part of what we're getting ready to read. Those of you who know scriptures knows that in the end, the Lord once again restored all that he lost times two. And yet, before that is known, Job came to this position. Job 42, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? In other words, he's speaking of himself now. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Then God speaks to him, hear, and then I'll speak. I will question you, and he will make it known to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, here's one of my therefores, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. In other words, I'm humiliated. I've been humbled at what I now have witnessed in you. Lord, as we go through your word in the next few moments, let what Job experienced speak to us in our experience to know that we can trust you. In Jesus' name. Before you're seated, turn to somebody you haven't talked to yet and say, let's enjoy God's word together. Find out. Terry just reminded me, asked me a question. I couldn't quite hear him. I don't have my hearing aids in. I was at QT getting a Diet Coke a couple weeks ago, and I had just got those hearing aids, and someone had called me with a Bluetooth. It paired with my phone, and here I am just talking because I could hear, and these two young ladies were there just looking at me. And I realized... I realized why they were looking at me that way, and I said, it's okay, I hear voices in my head all the time. It's not easy being me, folks. Here's Job. His plans have not worked, and yet there's a God who has purpose in his plans. And things happen on purpose. And here Job now has gone through so much. And in this honest confession, God's allowed him all the way through the processes to ask questions. God has permitted these things to come into Job's life. Job is as human as we are, and I don't get it, and I question. He never rebelled against God, but he sure questioned. And he come to the place where, God, why did I allow myself to get to a position and let others influence me to lose sight of who you are in my life? You're still the same God. Your plans, nobody can change God's plans. Nobody's that powerful. And yet, circumstantially, we get caught up in the moment. God, I come to you, and I realize that now. He finally comes to the place and says, I just need to be reduced to dust. And he wasn't trying to feel morbid. What he's saying is, I have been so humbled that I realize you're perfect and you are sovereign. And it is for me to come into alignment And what I've learned about you is you're good. And what I've learned about you, even through your permission of things, it will fulfill your higher purposes. It's hard for us to see it at times. How many of us would even speak of ourselves? You know, I've been serving the Lord a lot of years maybe, and I've seen God take me through things, crises in my adolescent years and my young adult years and on into early marriage, or maybe first having the responsibility of parenting, and somewhere along the way you lose sight of what God has done all those many times. Sometimes getting older gets scary for us. That mortality speaks to us. Well, for Job, he came to that place of absolute humility and submission. God, I know you do all things well. And even the suffering of godly people, you are allowing it to happen on purpose. So we talk about the will of God. That's probably the number one asked question as anybody comes around Christianity. I want to know the will of God for my life. How do I know the will of God for my life? And somewhere along the way, we get those images in our head. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Will God have a big screen and just show it to me? Will he speak to me in the audible voice? Will somebody operate in the gifts of the Spirit and give me a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, maybe both? God, I need to know your will for my life. Well, we begin, and God's word is always speaking of his will. And in his will are commandments, not suggestions or opinions, but commandments. And it is upon us to fulfill the will of God according to his word. And yet then we get into this perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? It is God's desire for us. How many loves Jeremiah 29 and 11? How many have memorized Jeremiah 29 and 11? I know. God said, I know the plans I have for you. God has plans for every single one of us. He didn't just have it for Jeremiah. He didn't just have it for one nation. God has plans on purpose. And he speaks and he says, it's for your welfare and not for evil. How many's ever felt like God's out to get you? Well, several hands can go up. God, what did I ever do to tick you off? Why me, God? I wonder how many of us are human enough to compare ourselves to somebody else in that moment of crisis. God, I know I'm better than Jim Zabore. Why am I going through this? Jim's so handsome. So wealthy, so good-looking, just wonderful. Has this magnanimous personality. Everybody loves Jim. Why am I going through this? And Jim goes through unscathed other than his right foot. Left? Left. Second mistake I made all week. We're human. And going through those crises, we question God. It's okay to question God. We don't get it. We look through a glass darkly. We're going through something we've never gone through before, or we felt like we've graduated from those kind of trials or temptations, and here I am again. The perfect will of God, we've come to this place, but I know you've got plans for me, and they are not of evil. Your plan is to give me hope. But then there's that permissive will of God. That God permits things to happen that are not his perfect will. You see, God gives us free will. That's one of the things that his permissive will accepts. For it is his good will that no one should perish. And yet it happens. He allows that. He gives permission. Job is the story of we see Satan even coming before the throne to get permission how to attack us. And God permitted. So we have to come to this place. Paul put it the best in Ephesians, and he said we are to walk. I like some of these biblical words, circumspectly. To redeem the time, for the days are evil. How many knows that one? I'm to walk circumspectly. I am to walk with purpose. I am to be in alignment with him. To know that he has a plan for me. There's this revelation that God gives, and I just felt like it would be healthy for us just to look at maybe one that we know had the privilege of revelation ability. It's Daniel. Daniel, of course, receives many dreams and many visions and gives instruction. And in one of those moments, he sees God on the throne, and he entitles him the Ancient of Days. Capture the glory of God in that. He said, thousands upon thousands of thousands are serving him in that throne room. And he said, 10,000 times 10,000s are before him. The great judge. And along the way in this vision, he captures, and there's one likened unto the Son of Man. We know that to be Jesus. And he has given unto him dominion and glory and honor and power. And on in that, and he talks about the children of God. He talks about the saints of the Most High receiving a kingdom. How many knows that's you? This revelation knowledge that he gets. For Daniel, and I'm going somewhere with this, but understand, even with world empires, world affairs, Daniel was given a glimpse of world empires, this image of this great warrior with a golden head and chest and arms of silver and his waist of bronze and on down legs and feet of iron and of clay. Every one of these empires have arisen and have fallen, just as God's word would say. Babylon, the gold, the best of the best, had the world right where it wanted. And I could go on into the different things that are still remnants of every one of those kingdoms. And yet God takes the time. Matter of fact, he goes on and there is still unfulfilled scripture. And that gets our attention. To know of a world empire with a world leader. To know that the repetitions of things. We see a world leader yesteryear after Alexander the Great of the Grecian Empire divided. The Bible said into the four winds, and there were four generals. One of them was Seleucid, and we know from there Antiochus Epiphanes becomes this world leader and goes into Jerusalem and creates an abomination of desolation. But does it also speak of what is to happen again? I believe it does. Pastor, why did you just give us that snippet? Because God does things on purpose. To nations, to individuals. He's perfect. We understand what Job had come to now, that God, your plans are never thwarted. Your plans. It's for us to hear your voice, to speak back to you obediently, to honor you, to respect you, to come to an understanding that you have a perfect will. All these things culminating to this reality. For Daniel, he said, I've shown you that last, and he said, I want you to seal up the book until the end of time. Pastor, do you believe that that book is about to be unsealed? I do. But I'm not a date setter. My purpose today is to draw us again and give me just a few moments to stir something in us again. To know that God is perfect. To know that he does things on purpose. To know that he gives revelation. But also to know the power of the supernatural. When we hear that expression, there are those that would draw us into some mysticism, Some will take us to a realm that it cannot be understood or that it cannot be participated in. But understand, the term supernatural simply means that which is above the natural. How many believes that God operates in the supernatural? He's created the laws of nature, and yet He Himself can move past it and above it. We understand the stories of old for the Israelites, the dividing of a Red Sea, the crossing of a Jordan River on dry land. We think about a fiery furnace and those thrown in to a fire even seven times hotter than normal, and yet they weren't even singed, and no smell of smoke upon their garments. What kind of God can do that? A supernatural, powerful God that does things on purpose. A God that hasn't changed. How many believes today if God could do that for three Hebrew men in a fire furnace, He can do that for you? Why? Because God hasn't changed. If we were thrown into a den of lions, we know about Daniel. We know that he's thrown into there, and they hadn't fed them old cats for a while. They were pretty hungry. And yet they looked at him and said, "You're not on our menu." No desire. God hasn't changed. What we can't afford to do is become complacent in trusting God. And knowing even though our circumstances aren't where we want them to be in the moment, God hasn't changed. How many knows He's still exceedingly and abundantly above what we ask of Him? What we even think of asking of Him. He's able to supply every need according to His riches. It is that faith again that says, "God, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through, but I know You and I know Your character and I know You haven't diminished one bit. You're perfect. You've always been perfect. You'll always be perfect. God, You so love the world that You gave us Your only begotten that we may receive salvation." How many has received salvation today? He's already proven to you how much He loves you. And in that, He's also proving that He'll continue to pour out upon you of His Spirit to do exceedingly above what we are asking of Him. It comes back to us trusting Him again. Job had got to this place. "God, these things were too wonderful for me, so I spoke of something I wasn't aware of. I was ignorant, and yet I spoke as though I had knowledge." How many times has that been us? "God, let me help You out with this." I love the expression in Daniel 11:32, "The people of God who know their God shall stand firm and take action." There's the secret. There's the secret. The people of God, yet that isn't the whole statement, who know their God. Do we know Him? Do we know that He cannot fail? Do we know that He's good? Do we know that He's perfect? Do we know that He is all-knowing? Do we know that He's all-wise? Do we know that He's all-powerful? Do we know that He cannot be hidden from where we are? If we have been accelerated and exalted and perched in a place that's unnormal for us, not normal at all, but we find that we've been elevated, promoted, and we're like, "God, I don't know if I can handle this promotion," we'll find out He's already there. But if everything goes wrong and our life becomes a living hell, as we like to make the expression, we'll find out that we can pillow our head there because His presence is already there. Do we know Him? The people that know their God will stand firm. Paul put it this way, I'm persuaded that He can't fail. I'm persuaded that He is able. If I commit something to Him, I know He won't lose it. I know he doesn't have dementia, amnesia. I know that he doesn't forget. If I commit it unto him, I can trust him, Euclides. I gave it to him. We may give possessions to precious things to somebody because we want it to be preserved, and I can trust you. Others, we'd say, I can't give it to you because you've proven you're forgetful. But when we give something to God, how many of you have prayed for your children and dedicated them to God and they're not serving him right now? Keep trusting him. I'm persuaded that he's able. I came in covenant with my God. Those that know their God will just stand firm. How many of us have been sick in body and say, but by his stripes I am healed. I'm going to stand under the promises of God and believe and trust for my miracle. I'm going to believe for the supernatural, to that which is natural right now, that something else comes along supernaturally. Zechariah declared it this way, as God said, it's not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Stand with me today, will you?